The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Our attentions to the phone right now. And Richard, I know you've been there for 48 minutes. Thank you for that, for your patience. But real quick, I'm going to go to Patrick in Denver because he has a comment or wants to respond to our conversation with Robert Spencer in the last hour. Richard, you'll be next. Patrick, good morning.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
As you may or may not know, President Trump told the King of Saudi Arabia, feel free about investing in America. In other words, build as many mosques as you want. John Guandolo has come out and said that the White House now is politically correct. Everyone in the White House is politically correct. Mosques in this country are nothing more than radicalization centers. And if you want to dispute that, I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Do you have a reference or a cite to the president's statement?
Because you know,
I'd like to look into
documentation and names many times before, and they always go into a black hole.
Well, that surprises me because I do respond to crap.
Right.
No, I do. So here's I'm going to make. All right, hold on a second. I know you're irritated today. We're coming up on New Year's. Let's all be happy. It's pretty and snowy.
Another thing, Randy.
Okay, hold on. We're going to put you on hold because we're not going to talk at the same time. I will bring you back. Just take a breath through the nose, out through the mouth. We'll bring you back up, Patrick. But I was going to give you this invitation. Go to 710canus.com. Find the show, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Click on the big red box that says email the show, and I will promise you, before it turns midnight tonight, whatever you send me. Now, if it's overwhelming to read, I may not get to all of it, but I will acknowledge it, I will respond to it, and I will look into it, and now we'll give you one more chance. Have you calmed down a little?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead. Last comment.
There are imams across this country saying, kill Jews, kill white Americans. So people need to wake up and figure out what's going on in this country, because it's going to be a short time before Sharia law is implemented in this country. And when it comes to building mosques in Colorado, you better be up and down protesting those constructions, because they're all being paid for by the King of Saudi Arabia.
Well, Patrick, I hope you'll take me up on my offer to email. I'd especially like to look into how Trump is dealing with this.
Right, right. If anybody's all politically correct, it's you and Jimmy Sangenberger.
Okay, Patrick. Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Happy New Year. Now, I don't. The guy doesn't sound like a lefty, but he sure seems to be as angry as a lefty. Here I am, all happy, enjoying the snow and spending the time with you. Full lines. Patrick's line is open, 303-696-1971. I just don't think that that's a way to persuade people to be so snotty or all of that. What did we do in the last 40 minutes of the 9 o'clock hour, or last 30-plus minutes of the 9 o'clock hour, if not try to get people looking in to my concerns about not radical Islam, about literal Islam? And on the other side, we have a Constitution of the United States that protects our God-given rights to freedom of worship. And so, you know, there's a tension there. And I'm looking for the peaceful Islamist to come out and say, we need a reformation here. We need a different interpretation, or we need to understand that the world is not going to tolerate us taking the world over. And so we need to pick a different path. I don't know. I'm no religious scholar. I focus far more on politics and grassroots activism. But Patrick, I just don't understand exactly your anger especially at me. We just had that conversation with Richard Spencer. By the way, you didn't make any comment at all to what Richard Spencer said, which is what you told the call screener you were going to do. Anyway, let's get to Richard. He's been waiting so long, very, very patient. 5 years in naval intelligence, a Republican. Richard in Denver, good morning, and thank you for your patience, sir.
Good morning. You're welcome, Randy. It's nice to talk to you. I enjoy your show.
Appreciate it.
Peter Boyles, a friend of mine, often talks about his belief that America is in a cold civil war right now, and I totally subscribe to his viewpoint. But the left, the progressive left, keeps getting more radical and louder and slamming their fist on the table more and more every time they're defeated or exposed. And certainly the Trump will avoid any further damage when the Senate clears him. I expect him to be overwhelmingly reelected, but the progressive left is not going away. And my question is, has anybody thought far enough ahead to say, these people are nobody's fools, that they may be mad, they may be crazy, but when will the left do something dramatic that will incite an all-out hot war?
Well, listen, I think there are plenty of people who are well prepared and are continuing to prepare for anything that the left tries to dish out, especially when President Donald Trump is reelected. I wonder if they have if they don't have the tools, the levers of power by running the federal government and a lot of local governments. I don't know that they're uncowardly enough to actually turn out in force or individually. Certainly hope that we are 1,000 years away from something like that happening, but it certainly could. I mean, have you ever seen? Now, I was a kid in the 60s. I know there were riots at the Democrat National Convention and children shot at Kent State and all kinds of horrible things that have happened in our past. But I do read history, and you can watch old clips and news and read old newspapers. And I don't think we have ever been at such a highly polarized time, at least since the founding here in the United States of America.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I just think it's a matter of time. You know, conservatives like you and I are simply sitting back, watching this stuff, taking a deep breath and saying our cause is right. We'll be ready when you need us, and we'll be there. But the left keeps going, the extreme left, the progressives, are just out of their mind crazy. I really think they have a major mental health issue as a group, and they're not going away. And I think it's naive for us to think that when Trump wins his second term, they're just going to bow their heads and say, hey, we were wrong, we're sorry, and we'll do better next time. The left isn't going to do that.
No, and it's proven right now with a losing impeachment argument. They're continuing to slug and fight and grab the last branch to hit you upside the head with as they continue to backpedal, perhaps into electoral oblivion in 2020. So really good comments, Richard, and I appreciate you sticking around. Before I let you go, I've got full lines, but I just want to share this tweet. I pulled it up while I was listening to you. I just remembered it from a day or so ago from a guy named Matt Couch. And he says, I see a lot of people on both sides talking about the potential for another civil war in America's future. One side has 8 trillion bullets. The other side doesn't know which bathroom to use. People really should think this through better. God bless
funny.
You, Richard. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Richard's line is open. We're going to have Steve Dace on for a few minutes at 10:25. But, boy, keep him coming. Let's keep the whippersnapper hopping back there. 303-696-1971. Next up is Roger in Golden. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you today? Enjoying your show.
Thank you, sir.
I had a question. Do you think Pelosi, can she hold on to these articles hoping that the election, they flip the Senate, and then she can put them in?
Boy, I don't think so. I read the piece that Rob Nadelson, professor of law, Professor Rob Nadelson, cited by Supreme Court justices, a lot of work in appellate. It does a lot of appellate work, Supreme Court, federal court, et cetera. Works out of the Independence Institute. Used to have him on when I was doing a daily show, I'd have him on every week. And he was with Deb Flora in the earlier version of this show today as well. But his piece in The Hill really makes the case that the president is impeached. And there is no constitutional requirement of transmission from the House to the Senate. Once the vote is taken, the articles are adopted. McConnell can act on them as he sees fit and as he chooses. And because Nadelson does such a good job of breaking down the founding fathers were lawyers, they made distinctions between things that actually had to be presented before they took effect. Like if I sue somebody, they're not sued until they're served with the summons. Other things like that that actually require the service of the document. Articles of impeachment do not fit that bill. So I think the Senate can act any way they want when they come back in January.
Very good. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Better believe it. Thank you, sir. And our first lady caller of the day, we always love them. Usually go to them first, but Tanya, everybody's been waiting so long, I just felt bad. And you're the newest caller as well. Tanya and Aurora, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Randy. Thank you so much. And that's totally okay. Yes, it was really a great conversation with Robert Spencer, and I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm an Islamophobe. And I had an experience here in Aurora, and that really freaked me out, and my husband. Being Jewish, I'm not a religious Jew, but I am an ethnic Jew. And there is an aspect to that, medically speaking, so I started writing it on my medical forms. BRCA 1 and 2 breast cancer test, genetic test, that's looking at Ashkenazi Jewish genetics and the I guess a tendency to have be more prone to breast cancer. So I started looking at that, and I moved to always including it. I went to a doctor's appointment. This happened actually last year, and it was a primary care physician I was assigned to. And I knew her name. I thought she might be probably Indian by her name, Indian American, no problem there. And I had switched. I'd already been to the ER twice. I was in a medical crisis with allergies and unknown factors, and it was really scary. And I had been put on prednisone, and I'd already been to this doctor's office. So they knew I was on medication. I'd done my new patient. I went back for scheduled appointment the next week.
As your attorney, Tanya, I'm going to advise you to not give up too much of your medical information. I think we get the point, though, of your perspective.
Very
where
critical.
So what happened?
And the doctor walked into the room, or rather, I'm sorry, she walked up to the doorway. She wouldn't enter the room. My husband and I were in the room. She could see my arm was flared up, and I was in medical crisis. I needed a prescription renewal. At least, that's all I needed, at the very least. She would not come in the room. She refused, and I did not know why. My husband didn't know why. She walked away from us mid-conversation and basically completely ignored her patient. So I had to go to the ER to get medicine. I later looked her up and found out that she'd been educated at Aligarh Muslim University. I believe it's in Pakistan. And I never thought before that I was dealing with somebody who was anti-Semitic. But and it horrified me that because I'd written that on a medical form, I did refuse medical care.
Wow.
And medicine. And so that's where I'm going with this. This happened in Aurora. I can't believe this happened in Aurora. And nobody seems to care. I can report it, and nobody cares. It's here, and that's very disturbing. I've done a lot of reading and research on Islam, and that's part of where I'm coming from, too. I've been trying to read my way through the Quran, and it's anti-Semitism is at the heart of Islam, and that's what's very scary. That it's even though Muslims will tell me I'm not anti-Semitic, reform doesn't work because of the way the Quran is written, the way it is perfect, as you were talking about. That is what it means to be Muslim, to practice according to the Quran. And reformist, I'm old enough to remember when Iran, when the Shah was kicked out, and I was growing up in Los Angeles at the time, and I had Persian friends. So it's very scary to see how a little bit of way being reform can turn into something like Iran being fully a full Islamic nation.
Let me ask you a question before we move on. It's such a great call, your own personal experience right here in our backyard. This studio is in Aurora, Colorado. Mosque is put maybe a mile north of here. To have that experience is just sad in America. But, you know, with Christianity, there's an Old Testament which was very punitive and had a lot of, you know, the law and punishment and stonings and so many things that really have kind of made their way into literal Islam. But yet there was, because of the New Testament, there was a reformation of Christianity, or at least kind of an absorption of the Old Testament punitive law and punishment sort of approach. And I just wonder, is it, I guess, without a new Messiah coming along for Islam, there's probably no way to create that reformation unless people realize that Islam is not just a religion or a way to worship. It's also a social structure and a political structure, and they attack it politically. I just don't know. You see what, you know, we had Katie Hopkins on when I was filling in for Peter Boyles. She called us live, or we talked to her live in London. And she's been silenced for calling out these Islamic rape gangs who get released by judges back into society. And when she doesn't lie or exaggerate about them, just reports on them, they show up at her house, police forces, and tell her, you know, these are certain things that you can't talk about. We're going to shut you down. We're going to punish you or whatever. And all you got to do is look to Europe to see what can happen if we don't stay vigilant and awake over here. I think America's different because of the principles we're founded on, because we are an armed and therefore self-secure society. But if we stay asleep at the wheel too long, or leftists get back in control, you know, they have this unholy alliance with Islam, even though they don't seem to realize that if Islam ever took power, many of the folks who support the left, gay folks, transsexual folks especially, would be the first one to be thrown off buildings. So I kind of talked myself out of the idea of a reformation. I guess I didn't really have a question for you, but it very provocative call, and I appreciate it so much, Tanya.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call and for putting it out there, because nobody wants to talk about it, and that is really scary that we're being shut down here. But honestly, Randy, there is no room for reform. If to read the Quran and to look at the Book of the Traveler or the Hadith is to know that there's just no room. The way it was written, it's final. And that's what's so scary, is because I'm sad for all the people who want to be reformed Muslim and say they are, because they are also at risk. And you mentioned that too. Everybody is at risk. And that is really sad and scary. But I don't want to end on that note. I wanted to say, you know, may we have a prosperous new year. You, your family, welcoming your new addition. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Tanya. Very much appreciate the call. God bless you.
God bless you, Randy. Thank you.
All right. And before we hit the break, man, I can't remember the last time that Bamba called in when I was on the radio, so I'm really looking forward to this conversation. He is a Muslim. He's got undoubtedly an entirely different perspective on what we've been talking about this morning, so really glad that you took the time to call in this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, sir. You know, on Saturday, I usually chill, listen to the radio and stuff like that. When Robert Spencer came on, I just... Randy, this is somebody who said he's a specialist in Islam, and he cannot define you what Hidayah means. That's terrible. If you are a specialist of Islam, you should be able to understand Arabic. You should be able to read the Quran. He can't do none of that, right? Hidayah, I don't know, there is an organization named Hidayah in the UK. I don't know if they are related to the one you're talking about or not. But that one, by the way, Hidayah means guidance. The one in UK, the Hidayah organization in UK, it's an LGBT organization. I don't know if they related to the one you're talking about or not, but it doesn't have anything to do with Islam. Islam does not recognize LGBT. Second, I don't remember who said it. Misinformation leads to ignorance. Ignorance leads to hate, and hate leads to violence. All these people telling you Islam is teaching to kill Jews or Christians, I just want them to tell me, give me one surah number, verse number, or one hadith. Name them. Tell me this hadith or Mama. This surah is teaching to kill Jews or Muslims.
What does Islam mean? The word itself.
Islam means
submit.
Islam means peace.
No, Islam means submit. Submit to God. Islam means submit. What do you do with Linda Sarsour?
Oh, I will beat him.
What do you do with Linda Sarsour?
I don't know. I don't know her. I just, the name of the organization just clicked in my head.
All right.
I don't know if it's the same one in the UK or not. But that one in the UK, it's an LGBT, they call themselves, but it's an LGBT movement.
Last question for you, just because we're running out of time, and I really appreciate the call. Next time I'm on this topic, I hope we can spend more time going
no
back
problem.
And forth about it a little bit. Really, really do appreciate
no
the alternative perspective. But you said, you know, Islam does not adopt or approve LGBT. And so why do you think so many on the left who are always trying to carve out LGBT and transgender and all the alphabet soup stuff in the gender argument as a, you know, a special class that needs special care and special dispensation? Why is it that those folks are also so supportive of Islam and call anybody like me who brings up things that concern me as a peaceful American who believes in religious freedom, call us Islamophobic?
I don't know why those people from the left support Islam, but I am pretty sure they do not understand Islam. And it's worse in the conservative side. They don't have no understanding of Islam. I mean, they are just guided by money and power.
Hey,
Ernie, if you pay attention, all these people going around, all these conservative people going around, talking about Islam and Muslim, they are backed by Jews. Why is that? Every one of them, they are backed by Jewish money.
Bamba, I'm going to give you an invitation. I'd love for you to take me up on it. Go to 710canus.com, wake up with Randy Corcoran, email the show, and send me some way to contact you. I would love to just sit down and have a conversation to see what I could learn that I don't know over a cup of coffee with you sometime. I'd be very, very grateful for that. All right. I've got to go, buddy. We're up against it, and we've got a guest on the other side. All the other callers on the line, give us about 15 minutes, and then we'll get back to the phones, 303-696-1971. But when I heard late last night from my old friend Steve Dace, he's just so good on the radio. His nationally syndicated show went away when he started doing TV. He's over on Blaze TV now. But I wanted to spend some time with him as we roll out the new year, the old year, headed to the new year as well. So Steve Dace will join us on the other side. At 1022, I'm Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Gotta say, Whippersnapper, as much as I love George Thorogood, I think the right song to come out of break from him would be Bad to the Bone. Bad to the Bone. All right, 1027, welcome back. So good to have you along. Phone lines have been full. We've got them cleared now for our next guest, so if you want to get fired up for the next segment, 303-696-1971. I will say that I came to love and respect this man long before I met him, long before he gave me an opportunity to fill in one night on his nationally syndicated talk radio show. I really got close in my mind after reading his book, Rules for Patriots, How Conservatives Can Win Again, and then listening to him stay consistent throughout the ups and downs of politics and the things that go on in the world, always adhering to his principles, something I strive to do every day, fall very, very short. When he wrote me back last night, reached out to him over a week ago, wrote me back last night and said, hey, I could do Saturday. I just had to allow you to spend some time with my next guest, the one and only Steve Dace. Good morning, sir. Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and all your audience, my friend. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, it has been way, way too long. And just a quick question. I don't want to get bogged down in the book, although it's still a great read, still very relevant right now. But it's been, what, 5 years, 6 years since mm-hmm. you wrote Rules for Patriots, How Conservatives Can Win Again. And you laid out some pretty bright guidelines and rules and action items for folks like us. And so give people maybe the top three or whatever you think is important, and then tell us how we've done over the last half a decade.
Well, I think if I didn't think all 10 were important, I wouldn't put them in there, obviously. But if I'm going to do a Cliff Notes version, the first thing I would say is the very first commandment, never attack what you're not willing to kill. Vince Lombardi, the old great Green Bay Packers coach, used to say to his team, you're going to get hit if you go over the middle anyway, so you might as well catch the ball. Because that safety doesn't know. He's coming from behind you. He doesn't know whether you're going to catch the ball or not, and so he is coached to play you. So you are going to take the hit. So not catching the ball doesn't save you from anything. So if you're going to take the hit, catch the ball. Similarly in politics, you get no credit from the enemy media for showing any restraint or pulling up a little short. They're not going to say, wow, way mature. No, I mean, you're either mouthing their narrative or you're their enemy. So if that's the case, earn their disdain. Earn it. Don't get it for stupid, cheap reasons. They're going to hate you anyway, so you might as well earn their hate for all of the right reasons. And the second one I would throw in there is...
Before you jump to number two, how would you assess Donald Trump's grappling with that particular ideal?
I think when it comes to taking on the media and the Democrats, Spinal Tap just skipped dialing it up to 11 and had to turn the quadraphonic media display down because he's blaring when it comes to that. I think what he needs to do a better job of in a second term, which I think unless the economy tanks, he will get. What I think he needs to do a better job of in a second term, Randy, is he needs to see the Republican Party as that enemy as well. I think he's been way too hands-off with them. I think he's been way too willing to outsource Obamacare repeal to a complete technocratic hack like Paul Ryan, for example. I think he's way too willing to let Mitch McConnell tell him what's realistic and what will pass. And I'll go back to last year with Brett Kavanaugh. They were going to nominate Amy Coney Barrett, who's a lot better judge. But, you know, McConnell came in there and said, hey, that's a fight right now. It's an election year. You know, Kavanaugh is kind of a do-no-harm Anthony Kennedy type. And, you know, we can get him passed and just move on and not have a blowout and get to our campaign trails. Well, lo and behold, we got a rape hoax instead. And so we didn't get a cruise control confirmation. You got a civil war. And you got a civil war for a judge that's basically Karl Rove in a black robe. He's not a great judge. He wrote the framework that John Roberts used to save Obamacare. It was the right war to fight. I fought that war for a judge I didn't necessarily care for because of the principle of the lie. But if you're going to have a civil war, why not do it for Amy Coney Barrett instead of Brett Kavanaugh? That's kind of what I mean. I think in the second term, he's got to lean on the Republican Party more. He's got to move them more. Otherwise, I think he's going to leave his base with some unfulfilled potential because ultimately the people that run the Republican Party hate Trump's base every bit as much as the Democrats do.
No question about it. It's going to be hard to limit you to one segment because every comment you make leads to 10 more questions. How do you think Donald Trump might have reacted if he wasn't dealing with the 21st century version of the radical left Democrat Party, where they are going to have every fight, they are going to pitch every battle, and even riding the sinking ship of impeachment right now? I said in the first hour, Nancy Pelosi, she's ripping the wood off the side of the boat to hit him with. She's tearing the zippers off of her wetsuit to stick in his eye. I mean, these guys will fight on every front. Talking about the left right now, Donald Trump seems willing to do that as well. And I just wonder if he hadn't been under the scrutiny of the Mueller hoax and now the impeachment hoax. And I think that limits his ability to make some of these international trade deals and other policies that he'd like to implement as well. Do you give him any sort of, not credit, but some understanding about why maybe he is trying to rally people around him, even those who are far more, middle of the road than maybe he'd like to be with his presidency?
Yeah, I don't know how you could be an honest, critical evaluator and not have empathy for the context of the circumstances that he is in. Now, I would say that the best remedy, go back to what I said a few minutes ago. If the economy doesn't tank, he's going to get reelected no matter who they nominate. Now, if that's the case, then ultimately policy wins. Ultimately, policy wins. And if policy wins, the best antidote to this, like if the unemployment rate was 7 or 8% instead of 3.5%, how many more Republicans in a Senate trial might be looking at if if his approval rating was 35% instead of 45, right? These things are a sliding scale because of where things are at from a policy perspective. So if policy is the best antidote, then you would he would have been better off fighting more on these policy ends to get the outcomes that a lot of Americans. Here's the best thing Donald Trump has going for him, Randy. The number one institution Americans hate, even more than the media, is Congress. The number one. All right. And here's the other thing he's got going for him. The number two institution Americans hate is the media. All right.
Yeah,
so the top two institutions Americans of pretty much all non-communist stripes hate the most, hate him the most. So the best revenge, they used to say when we were kids, the best revenge is living well. The better his policies are, then the more invulnerable he is. And in his second term, you'll have the Mueller probe, impeachment. He'll have given the validation of another reelection. At that point, you've got to move beyond the personality because the left wants to keep him bogged down in these urination contests the entire time. And at some point, he's got to realize, I can't get much more affirmation than no Russian collusion. I need an impeachment, and I just got reelected. It's time now to actually govern and screw these people, period. And that's what the focus of his second term has to be.
Are you good for two segments?
Sure.
All right, let's stay on this this piece of our conversation with regard to your book. And I really encourage folks to read Rules for Patriots, How Conservatives Can Win Again. Follow Steve at Steve Dace Show on Twitter. Dace is D-E-A-C-E, Steve Dace Show on Twitter. And then watch him on Blaze TV. I mean, aren't there great like promotional end-of-the-year offers
sure.
out there where people can taste your show, Mark Levin's Daily Show, all the others, great hosts that you have over there at the Blaze right now?
Absolutely. If you just go to blazetv.com/Dace, D-E-A-C-E, you can get a reduced subscription for next year and all of our election coverage. And you mentioned Mark Levin, Glenn Beck, Stephen Crowder, the entire team that we have at blazetv.com/Dace.
All right, let's get to, I think we only have time for one more rule. So what was number two point you were going to make from your book?
Do not accept the premise of your opponent's argument. Instead, reverse it and use it against them.
It's just classic. And if people have read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, you see how well the left has implemented variations on even just these first two. But go ahead and elaborate on that one.
You go to the Obamacare fight. The Republican talking point against Obamacare at the time I wrote Rules for Patriots was, well, we can't afford it. So let's say we were running, budget surpluses like we were at the end of the Clinton era with a Republican Congress. If we were running budget surpluses, would it be totally constitutional and fine to make people buy a product they don't want, take away from them a product that they do, and make the Little Sisters of the Poor nuns with a perpetual vow of chastity for 2,000 years fund abortions? We are constantly arguing the premise of the other side's argument. And now the last cultural argument left is gender and identity. This is the last one. If you lose this, then everything, this is the last latch on Pandora's box here. This is the cavalcade of whimsy comes out for good if you lose this one. And already we're trying to find conservative trans people. This is a mental illness. Do not accept the premise of it. Do not legitimize it. Do not normalize it. It needs to be treated and defeated. And so we constantly accept the premise of all of their arguments. We even use terms like gun violence in conservative media. These are all concocted terms by the left to frame the battlefield. And styles make fights in boxing. And whoever frames the battlefield, it usually ends up winning once the battle takes place. If we are fighting their style and letting them frame the battlefield and accepting the premise of all of their arguments and then arguing against them, it is a philosophical law of the universe, my friend. Whoever's premise of an argument gets established is going to ultimately win the argument. It's just a matter of how long it takes for them to pull it out.
So my initial response to that is you're not running out of energy at all, are you? You are fired up as we get.
I've been off for the last week, so I've got a lot of pent up energy. I've been on vacation.
It's wonderful. But here's what I'd like to do. When I knew I was going to get you on this morning, I went to your Twitter feed to see what was important to you, and you've got a pinned tweet. Fascinating, something I talked about. I filled in all week for our morning show host, Peter Boyles. And I talked quite a bit about the Christianity Today editorial that called for the impeachment and removal of Donald J. Trump. And your pinned tweet from the day after Christmas is, how would arguably the most authoritative human voice on real-world application of biblical teaching, the Apostle Paul, respond to the debate over the Christianity Today editorial calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump? I'd like to get into that in the minutes that we'll have on the other side. That work for you?
Sure, you bet.
All right, terrific. It's about 21 minutes to go now until 11 o'clock. I'm Randy Corporan in, gosh, all week I've been saying in for somebody, but I'm in for me today, and we will continue this incredible conversation with my good buddy Steve Dace on the other side. Stay with us at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Now we're talking whippersnapper. That's how we feel around here. Welcome back at 10:44. We've got about 16 minutes to go until 11 o'clock with great guest on the line, my good buddy Steve Dace, D-E-A-C-E. And Steve, a couple of things before we dive into Christianity Today. You gave up your nationally syndicated talk show, very successful. You've moved over to the TV realm at Blaze TV. Give the tag again so folks can get the special for next year. But before you do, just give them a quick blurb about what are you specifically trying to accomplish with the Steve Dace Show on Blaze TV?
The number one goal of our show, and from when we first launched in syndication with Salem several years ago to now with Blaze TV, the number one goal is to take a biblical worldview back into the American mainstream again. The worldview that was paramount at the time of the country's founding and framing, and to bring it back into the mainstream again, because without that worldview, we don't stand a chance against the spirit of the age that we're up against. That's our number one goal. And it's number one, two, three, four, five, six, and seven. It's ahead of election outcomes or policy outcomes. We're trying to, you want to dam a river, Randy. Any civil engineer will tell you, you dam a river at the source of the river. You don't do it downstream where it's already got inertia and gravity and momentum on its side. You go to the mouth of the river. And the mouth of the river in our culture is at the worldview level. That, the old saying from Andrew Breitbart, that politics flows downstream from culture. I'm a big believer in that. And so that is really what motivates our show more than anything else. In other words, if we win, you're a lawyer, right? So you can win a case, but if you establish a poor legal precedent that'll be used against you later on, you may have won that particular case, but you may have set the stage for the next several cases you're about to lose. And so that's what we're concerned about, is we're concerned about the worldview, not just a utilitarian outcome.
And if folks are interested, it's Blaze, what is it, blaze.com/Dace, D-E-A-C-E?
BlazeTV.com/Dace.
Very good. Okay, last thing before we jump into the Christianity Today editorial. Over the course of the show, we were deep into some concern I have about a Muslim center that's going up in Overland Park, Kansas, which is right where my cousin and his grandson were murdered 5.5 years ago by a white supremacist. My concern when I dug into it was their affiliations that really tie all the way back to CARE. They're bringing in Linda Sarsour as a keynote speaker in January to raise some money for it. Had Robert Spencer on and had a lot of calls about that after. But one guy who seemed kind of on the side of trying to educate people about potential dangers of literal Islam being implemented here in the United States or around the world, but he was so angry. And it seems to me that the left is just in this frenzied state of vicious hate and anger right now. And I'm encouraging everybody who's on the side. I mean, it's great to be on the winning side. It's great to see an economy that's growing and the good things that are being accomplished under the Trump administration in spite of all the headwinds against him. But we need to be happy, even when times are tough. Share our vision. Share our message. But enjoy life. Show what it's like to be a conservative and an American and be happy, even when we're in the middle of the fight of our lives. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, the great evangelist, D.L. Moody, it once coined a phrase. I've used it several times in my own line of work. When you're winsome, you win some. And I think, you know, hey, there is absolutely a time and a place, you know, the same St. Paul who looks at a heretical magician in the book of Acts and looks at him in front of a crowd and points to him and says, you are a son of the devil, is the same St. Paul that jokes with the Judaizers and Galatians who worship at the altar of circumcision and jokes with them sarcastically and says, hey, I'll tell you what, if you guys think, you know, circumcision ultimately is what makes you holy before the sight of God, go ahead and cut your whole penises off and be especially holy. I mean, really go with it. I mean, ride that puppy all the way out, you know? And I think, you know, the Ronald Reagan was a great embodiment of this. One of my all-time favorite Reagan quotes is Sam Donaldson at a White House news conference asking him one time when the economy was really down early in his presidency, coming out of the Carter years, and Sam Donaldson said, Mr. President, you have sat here and blamed the Democrat Congress, Democrat governors, the former Democratic president for the policies and the state of the economy you inherited. You are the president of the United States, sir. Do you not hold any responsibility for the suffering that's happening out there? And Ronald Reagan looked right at him deadpan and says, well, Sam, yes, for many years I was a Democrat, and I'm sorry for that. And I think that's the ability to turn those phrases around. Humor is a yes. valuable weapon, and yes. I think that we can't always use it. Sometimes somebody needs to just call a spade a spade. But if you can use humor to lighten the mood in a room, and here's one thing I would encourage our people with as well, do not match them vicious for vicious or vanity for vanity or anger for anger and cancel for cancel and boycott for boycott. You have to understand that the number one thing driving the spirit of the age left is a hatred of Western civilization. So if you say, hey, I'm going to boycott this like you boycotted me, that doesn't affect them at all. All they want is deconstruction of the West. That's what they want. They want a deconstruction of capitalism, a deconstruction of Judeo-Christian morality. And so, you know, zero times zero, my friend, is zero. They're fine if you hate them as much as they hate you. You're not winning anything with that. They want more toxin into the cultural jet stream, the bloodstream. That's what they want. And ultimately, it's, you know, love is the best antidote. Now, sometimes love requires a harsh word. Sometimes love requires a calling out. But the motivation for that is not hate, but love. And I think that's something that we've got to remember, that there's no point burning the village from a cultural standpoint to save it, that everything has to be a culture war, NFL games, Star Wars, everything. That's exactly what they want. So the only way to win the game is not to play. They want everything to be toxic. They don't want anything neutral or safe to enjoy as Americans, regardless of our belief system. And I think it'd be a terrible tactic for us to take part in that, because all we're doing is helping them keep more and more hate and toxin into the cultural bloodstream.
Follow Steve Dace at Steve Dace Show on Twitter. Find him at blazetv.com. We've only got 3 or 4 minutes left, Steve, but I really thought it was a profound position or perspective that you shared. You pinned it on Twitter and a link to your Facebook page, responding to this Christianity Today article from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. And the Christianity Today, of course, said that Trump is profoundly immoral and should be removed from office, and went on to buy into some of the factual lies and misrepresentations of the Democrats around impeachment and point out a whole host of things. Franklin Graham, whose father founded the magazine, responded, and a lot of different Christians came out on either side. We have this progressive infiltration of the Christian church, and it's very frightening, very scary. Give us a couple minutes on how the Apostle Paul would have reacted to what's going on right now from your perspective.
I think he would have put, because we know from his own written record, the gospel would be paramount. And, you know, the idea that a president should be impeached because, you know, I read their editorial. They talked about, you know, he violated the Constitution, but then didn't specify how, and then just went on what kind of a bad influence he is on the Christian church. The idea that a president should be impeached on those grounds is utterly ridiculous, and that's not the job of Christianity Today. But if you've read Christianity Today for the last several years, and I haven't, I gave it up for this reason, it's very clear it's much more interested in fads and trends and how we can get people into the church than what Miss Sam Hill to teach them and disciple them with once they arrive. And that if Donald Trump is everything they claim, then it's organizations like Christianity Today that are ultimately to blame, because they allowed the church to diminish in its influence. They allowed the salt to lose its flavor and position of standing in the culture that allowed a man like they're describing Donald Trump to be, to come to power in the first place. I think that's what Paul would say. And I think he would look at the people that signed the note in defense of the president and would say to them, hey, have you looked at all the names that are signing this paper with you? There's several false teachers in here, like Paula White from the, you know, who's the prosperity gospel heiress. This notion that she's some kind of populist. I mean, she's a multi-millionaire shakedown artist. And I think he would say to those people, I love your passion for defending your way of life. But, you know, it's what Augustine once said. There are many wolves, many sheep without, but many wolves within. You've got wolves sitting on that list right there that are a much bigger threat to you and to the gospel's future in your culture than a silly Christianity Today article. Do you have a passion for purifying the church as much as you do for political partisanship? And so I think in true Paulian fashion, he would write something that would probably, at some level, anger both sides of the argument. That's pretty much how the New Testament rolls, my friend.
Just simply amazing to listen to and watch you work, man. The last time we were together was a Red State convention that was here in Colorado. You came out. We got to spend the day together. And I just want the listeners to imagine, after 30 minutes of Steve Dace on air, what it was like to be involved in these conversations. People were just tracking you down, seeking you out, and wanting to listen, to follow you around for a day. I was exhausted at the end of that day, man. How do you do it?
I have this weird combination where I'm a workout warrior and I love sugar at the exact same time. And so they almost cancel each other out, but they give me a great amount of energy for each day that I've got to tackle. So,
well,
I'm not necessarily recommending that, as your New Year's resolution, but that's what keeps me going.
I assume the wife and kids are all fine?
They're doing great. We've had a great Christmas, and we're very blessed, man. I mean, we have our issues like any family does,
sure,
especially if you have teenagers, but in the grand scheme of things, it beats going down a mine shaft with a flashlight, brother.
Boy, does it ever. Well, I love you. I wish you a happy new year. Hope I get to see you sometime in person again, maybe in the next year. And thanks so very much for giving up a half hour of your Saturday morning for us here in Denver.
You bet, man. And happy new year to all of your audience as well. And keep fighting the good fight and finish the race, brother. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, take care.
Away we go. The one and only Steve Dace. All right, I think I'm exhausted. And so maybe for the next hour, we'll just turn it over to callers, 303-696-1971. I just love that, man. We do have Brandon Straka coming up in about a half an hour, the founder of the Walkaway Movement. Thought that was a good way to end the final Wake Up with Randy Corcoran of 2019, to just talk about all of the optimistic things that are happening as the move away from these radicals in control of the Democrat Party continues. And with all the complaints we can have about Republicans and Republican policies, the absolute progress that the bulldozer freight train known as President Donald J. Trump continues to make in advancing so many of our conservative values. And so that's what's ahead. 303-696-1971. If you want to jump in, we've got about 25 minutes to talk. And so I hope you'll stay with us at 710 KNUS. I'm Randy Corcoran. Saturday morning.